They had to bring me the mic. I forgot I was preaching. Oh, it's exciting. It's exciting, Susan. Oh, God is good. He is good, and we do need him this morning. Want to let you know that we are starting, we just finished up today our last lesson on Vanishing Grace in Sunday school. Oh, and what a wonderful study it's been. And we're going to go back to an older study. I told them, this is a study that Ray Quiet sent me when I was in Phoenix. John Ortberg, God is closer than you think. And we need him. We need him. So the next few weeks we're going to be going through this. And if you want to order a study guide, Travis Lynn's going to be at the back of the church taking orders at the end of church. Or we're also going to order some books. Or he accepts cash. Okay. He's a good man. He is a good man. Now, if I can find my sermon notes, we'll be good. Oh, yes, Jesus, thank you. I need to pray. God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your love. I thank you, Lord, that you're there. You are our everything. Thank you for life, love, grace, forgiveness. And so, God, we just come to you as we are today. People have entered this building today. People have entered into our online service today. And we're all carrying something. We all have something, Lord, that we need to give you today. So just meet us where we are. And may we hear from you. And just be ready to receive what you want to give us today. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen. Anybody know what this is? Oh, it's a mold. It's a jello mold. That's right. This was my mama's, and she had several different shapes. But what we did back in the day, and some people may still do it, you take your jello and you put in your fixings and you put it in here and you put it in the refrigerator and you chill it. And then when it's all firm, you stick it in some lukewarm water and get the edges all, and then you slap it on a plate. And when you do, that mold is there in the jello. And so that's the shape that it would be. The scripture we're going to look at today reminds us that the world is always wanting to mold us. The world always wants to tell us how to be, how to think, how to do. And we're going to talk about how can I live in freedom and not be caught up in that? How can I live in freedom of what God's called me to without starting to look like the world, without starting to be molded to the world and looking like the culture around me? How can I not think like the culture? How can we walk in the freedom of who God has created us to be? So in the next few minutes, that's what we're going to talk about. And it goes right along with our Sunday school lesson this morning. We're going to start and we're going to be journeying through the scripture today, and we're going to start in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. We've been talking about, Dwan did the series on the deadly sins. How many were there? Seven deadly sins. And so I followed that up with that lesson last week on life, and I was thinking, how do we fully live in that? And that brought me to this scripture, Romans 12, 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so you may discern what is the will of God. what is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, it's talking about presenting these bodies as a living sacrifice. So presenting in the Greek has to do with placing something at someone's disposal. And here it's talking about our very life. Our very life, placing it in God's hands, at God's disposal. Why would we do that? Why would we surrender ourselves to God? Well, it's to get in on God's plan, what He's doing in this world. He is working in this world, and He wants to work through us. Isn't that amazing? He wants to work through us. So we're not to listen to the world and what the world tells us, because the world sends us mixed messages, the wrong messages. And we want to hear from God. We want to be on what God's doing, and so we have to surrender these bodies to Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20 says, let me get there. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you're not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies. That is so beautiful. It said that this body, our bodies, when we surrender our lives to Christ, He comes to dwell in us. He temples in us. So He's in here. And it said he's inhabiting this space. We are housing God. Our bodies are hosts for the Most High God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So we're not left alone to navigate this walk with God, this walk of discipleship, of following God. If we live and belong to Christ, we have the Holy Spirit working in us. The Holy Spirit. You and I talked about it last week, didn't we, Casey? It's the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living in us. And so, is there anything impossible for God? Is there? There's nothing impossible for God. And 2 Corinthians 3:17 tells us, now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? There's some freedom, amen? There's freedom to be who God's created us to be. There is freedom to walk the way that He's asking us to walk. There is freedom in surrendering our bodies as a living sacrifice. The Spirit enables us to live this incredible life of love, freedom. Man, we've just been showered with love. It said that we've been bought with a price. What's the price? Very life, blood, Christ, right? The gift, the greatest gift ever given, has been given to us through the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I want the Spirit working through me. I want Him inhabiting this body. I want Him having control of my hands. I want Him having control of my feet, my ears, my mouth, my heart, my mind, my emotions. That's what He wants. The whole thing. He wants the whole thing. So He can do His work in us, and we can find what we were created to do. Let me show you this beautiful scripture in 2 Corinthians 4:7-10. Paul tells the church there. He says, we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. He said, man, you're just a clay pot. You're just ordinary stuff. But God chooses to live in ordinary, broken stuff. We are just vessels for God to feel. And the more that we just surrender our life to Him, the more He can fill our vessels up to the full, so that He can be working through our lives. There's a worship song that Karen's taught me. That Karen has, she's always feeding me these worship songs, and I start listening to them, and this is the one about the miracle. Have my heart. And then there's this one part in it. I want us to do this song. There's this one part in there that I love. And this guy says, if you want my heart, you got it. You got it. If you want my heart, you got it. You got it. If you want my will, you got it. You got it. If you want my all, you've got it. You got it. If you want my yes, you've got it. You got it. And you know, I thought about it. Our life is a gift. It's just a gift. And Frank found out this week what a precious gift it truly is, right? God's been carrying your vessel, hadn't he? It's just a gift. And what we're doing when we surrender our bodies as a living sacrifice, we're just giving back to God what's already His. We belong to Him. He chose us. He chose us to be His sons, daughters, chose us to be born a living sacrifice. He makes us alive in Christ. We talked about that last week. In Christ, we're made alive. Because He's our bread. He's the bread of life. He's the one that gives us life. So those bodies we give to Him, our life we give to Him, that is a living and breathing sacrifice. Romans 14, 7 through 9 says, we do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Hallelujah. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, so that He might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Now, does God ask us to surrender our bodies as a living sacrifice to Him so He can control us? That wouldn't be freedom, would it? If God wanted to control us, God, what we do is we receive the love. We receive the grace, and we receive the forgiveness of God. And He's not controlling us, because where you find control, you find fear. But there's no fear in love, is there? There's no fear in love. He wants us to be motivated by the love that we've been given. that grace, that gift of grace, because he's a good father. He's been good to me. Has he been good to you? He's been good. Even in the hard times, he's been good. Even in the times that we've had to, of times of loss, he's been good. And as disciples of Christ, we live. We live in the boundaries of God's love. He does give us some boundaries to live in. So I think we can just frolic. We can frolic like a little lamb, a newborn lamb or a calf. We can frolic in the boundaries of God's love, and it provides freedom. And it sounds really good. I mean, it's exciting to think about it. But something I've learned, that finding freedom requires surrender. The word surrender is not in the Bible. But there's evidences of surrender in the Bible, like presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice. There's some surrender in that. So I want to talk just a second about surrender. You know, I don't know about you, but I like to hold on to my hurts. I like to let them fester, and I like to, I've got some hang-ups that I like to hold on to. Some sin sometimes that I like to hold on to. Got some grudges sometimes that I like to hold on to. I've got some approval addiction that I have to give up to God. You know, I want you to like me, and I want you to like who I think, who I want you to think I am more than who I really am. So I have to surrender that to God. You know, sometimes there's unforgiveness when we've been harmed. And I want to hold on to that. I like my control. We like our control sometimes, because when we lose our control, when we lose control and we just surrender, you might see me for who I really am. Chad, what if you don't like this mess? What if you don't like this broken mess? What do I do with that? But I'm called to surrender. If I want to find freedom, I've lived it. If I want to find freedom, I have to learn to surrender. Surrender. What is surrender? Well, if we're vessels for the Lord, those things that I just talked about, sometimes they fill us. And so surrender is just an emptying out. It's getting rid of that anger. It's getting rid of that fear. Getting rid of that grudge, that hate, whatever it is that's keeping me from living in the freedom that God wants me to have. Surrender is also a posture. It's a posture of the heart. It's the only posture where we're willing to receive. We have to surrender. And so it can be a posture of the heart. But a lot of times, when my heart is surrendered to God, my body's going to follow. So sometimes surrender might look like this. Or like this. Or like this. I think of the man who was praying, and he just beat on his chest. He couldn't even look at God. Sometimes surrender. Sometimes it takes us all the way down. All the way. Because God wants to have it all. And I find that I can give it to him when I'm just in his presence. And maybe I might be worshiping or just sitting there when those things come up. is the psalmist. When the psalmist prays, "Search me, O God. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." Surrender is also a practice. It's not something, it's not just an event that happens one time in my life and then it's done. It's, there's every day. Every day there's going to be something that I can surrender to a God of love. Because when I can surrender, I've got open hands, and then I can receive what He wants to give. Dr. Matt Russell was a teacher of mine at Fuller. He said, "In our culture, we are conditioned to take, to grab hold of opportunities, to attempt to control people and situations." And he said, "You know, there's an inherent violence in that, that taking." He says, "Everything I've received of value has been given to me. The love of a spouse, children, friends. It's the Eucharist. It's like Jesus when He gives Himself to us." It surrenders also about relationship. You know, the surrendering of who I want you to think I am, and just coming into relationship with you and being real and just sharing my struggles, my struggle with this or my struggle with the sin or a hang-up or an emotion, and just communing with my brothers and sisters in Christ, finding grace and love, finding forgiveness, acknowledging to one another, because we're all beloved sons and beloved daughters of God. Romans 12:2, he said, "Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect." When I was thinking about surrender, I thought of the greatest picture of surrender we've ever been given. And that's a picture of Christ. I found this scripture a long time ago. Blew me away. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7 through 9. "In the days of His flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save Him from death. And He was heard because of His reverent submission. Although He was a son, He learned obedience through what He suffered. And having been made perfect, He became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey Him." The greatest picture of surrender we find is at the cross. Where He bore it all. All those struggles that we're ever going to have. But you know, our lives tell a story. They tell a story of that love. He had some disciples that followed Him, that discovered that He was life. And He told them, "I've got to go away. Got to go away." He met with them before He was crucified. Sat around a table with them. And He took the bread on the table. And He broke it. And He said, This is my body. This is my body given for you. Every time you eat it, remember, remember my love. Remember my sacrifice. Remember my surrender. He took the cup, the fruit of the vine, passed it around, and he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant given for you, poured out for you for the forgiveness of sin. When you take this, remember. Remember my love. Remember forgiveness." So we're invited today. We're going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate as the body of Christ. We're going to celebrate. So I'm asking my elders to come forward. They're going to help me with communion this morning. We're going to have the bread and the juice on this side. We're going to have the bread and juice on this side in our containers. Germ-free, yes. The invitation is not my invitation. The invitation to come and receive is Christ's invitation to us. So as we come, remember that you are partaking of life. The bread of life. You're partaking of forgiveness. And as you come today, if there's something that you need to surrender, as you come, lay it down. Lay it down. Jesus, we thank you that you are the gift. You are the miracle. Help us to enter into your love. In Christ's name.